We're back in Buda, this time on Culture File, for a conversation with the English farmer and writer James Rebanks. Rebanks' memoirs of his sheep farm in the Lake District have brought him to global attention, but in recent times his attention has been taken with another type of farming, practiced on remote Norwegian islands, eiderdown gathering. As he told Culture File when we met at the Sound of Silence Seabird Symposium in Buda.
My name is James Rebanks. I'm a sheep and cattle farmer from the Lake District, and I've written a couple of books, The Shepherd's Life and English Pastoral. We're in Buda, inside the Arctic Circle in Norway. We're at a two-day conference, which is a very strange thing for me to be at because it's about seabird declines and seabird science. And it's a slightly strange bringing together of people with practical knowledge about seabirds, including people that look after eider ducks and build stone nests on islands, which is like a craft activity here to produce eiderdown, right up to sort of top-level bird scientists. And they're sort of sitting around in rooms swapping notes and trying to work out what the hell's going on, but the big news is seabird numbers are crashing all around the northern seas, and that's wildly depressing and upsetting.
You're not particularly associated with ducks or birds in general.
No, I'm a farm boy that's barely seen the sea. In 2012, I had another job off the farm, which was for UNESCO, and I got lucky, and that was sent to lots of very sort of old traditional communities where they're keeping really ancient sort of craft practices alive. And I got really interested in lots of those communities. And one of them was these people, these women particularly, not just women, but women and men on islands who harvest eiderdown and look after wild eider ducks. And I've been coming since then quite regularly. And yeah, they're just everything that I'm interested in as a writer. They're people trying to work out how to live in the world.
Where precisely are we talking about geographically?
So the island that I've been going to stay on is called Fluvar. Sort of crudely translates into English as the place of tides. In what they call the Strand Flat, I think is what they call it, which is this 20, 30-mile stretch of islands that stretch out into the sea. So they don't just have a sort of coastline like the White Cliffs of Dover that just stops, nowhere, melts, dissolves slowly into the sea in thousands of islands. And that's given birth to like a really unique, very old ways of life, where people harvest the sea, farm these really hard little islands. When I'm there, I stay on an island called Vega, and I've been lucky enough to spend a lot of time further out on a tiny little island called Fluvar with an amazing lady called Aud Holmøy. None of the Norwegian language for what these people do translates into English, into sort of phrases that we know, but they would call themselves a duck tender. I call her a duck woman, basically. And her job is to go out each spring, make hundreds of stone and corrugated tin and wooden nests on this tiny little series of islands near to the open sea, and then there's this weird thing going on whereby the wild ducks over the last 1,000 years have learned to trust the women and the men that build these nests. They come ashore historically in huge numbers to these little islands. They lay their eggs, they pull the eiderdown out of the chest to soften the nest around the eggs. 28 days later the eggs hatch and they go back to the sea, and they leave sometimes a beautiful pile of eiderdown that needs a little bit of cleaning, and then it becomes a beautiful duvet. Often they leave a very messy, dirty, damp nest. And the work of the eiderdown men and women is that they gather up this eiderdown and then they begin a process of cleaning it that, by hand, torturous, goes on for months and months and months. The island that I go to historically produced 2 duvets a year, which and hand-cleaned eiderdown is now so rare, you can't get one of these things, even no matter your how wealthy you are. Sort of long waiting list for them. And on this whole coast now, you're down to a few, I think something like 20 duvets a year being produced by these few dozen people that continue this ancient practice.
It's an amazing kind of stewardship because it's really not exploitative at all of the animals.
No, it doesn't involve any dead animals at all. It's really just using the byproduct of the wild bird's nest. And it's a very strange thing because when you're actually with, and I've only been with women, I haven't been with any men doing this, the wild birds actually sit still on the nest inside little huts while these women are crawling around with them, even reaching underneath them to touch the eggs, count the eggs, whatever else they need to do. And you have to pinch yourself and say, hang on a minute, this is not a domesticated duck, this is a wild duck off the Atlantic that's just been tamed, sort of semi-tamed over time to come and do this. Eider ducks are eaten by everything in the wild. So there's a thing in ecology called the shadow of fear, which is around humans, predators are scared for, with good reason. In fact, everything should be scared of humans, shouldn't it? It turns out eider ducks benefit from shadows of fear. They realise that if the mink, the otter, the heron, the crow is scared of us, that's the safest place to nest. So they literally nest right under these people's houses, they nest under their doorsteps, they nest under the wooden steps that they walk up from the jetty or the wharf. Quite an amazing thing to witness.
What is your role? Have you been building houses along with them? Are you allowed to? Or
I originally went just to observe this, to sort of shadow two of the women that were working on this tiny little island. And then the sort of circumstances, one of them wasn't particularly well, so I ended up having to pitch in just to get the work done. And I actually think that ended up being the best thing that's ever happened in terms of me being here, because I helped the other woman build 300 nests. That was in the spring of 2019. And I've been coming back to do it since whenever I can.
What kind of relationship do you develop with the birds? I mean, you know, you do develop a relationship with sheep. So can that happen with birds who are going to maybe fly away for a season?
Yeah, so before I came, I imagine that being quite a cold exchange. This wild bird's only really there because it feels slightly safer than it does on the rocks half a mile away. But amazingly to me, and this is where I started to get really fascinated by this, these women are handling these ducks. They're literally able to sort of put their hands under them and count the eggs. They're often helping the ducks with the chicks to get down the headlands to the sea, almost sort of shepherding them down to the sea, knowing full well that a hawk or a gull or something can come down and take those chicks. And there's a weird sort of symbiosis thing going on whereby the ducks have worked this out. The duck's actually looking at the woman to take a few more steps. And then the duck ducklings, are following the mother, and they're playing sort of grandmother's footsteps down to the shore.
So the stress on that system is clearly coming from somewhere else. Like they're in a relationship with the ducks, which is clearly sustainable.
So I think what we've been learning in this conference today is the seas in general are undergoing terrible declines. Everything that moves or swims or flies in the seas on a downward curve in the graphs, which is heartbreaking. The graph looks less bad in the places where these women work. So I think what interests me as a writer about that is ideally the graph wouldn't be going down, but if the graph's going down or we're going to turn it around at some point, what kind of people do we need to be? Like, what kind of lives do we need to live? What kind of relationships do we need to have with wild things? Can we genuinely be stewards of wild places and make them better than they would have been otherwise? Can we be benign or even good instead of just a frigging problem? So that's what I grapple with on my own farm at home every day. Like, am I a problem or can I be something good? Can I make things better?
James Rebanks there, and next time we'll be heading north of Bida to Nut Hamsun country on Culture File.